I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
Hi there. Welcome to a brand new episode of Against All Odds, an HT Smartcast original with me, Bose. This show is about extraordinary individuals who have survived impossible challenges. Eventually, they have reached where they wanted to. This show is about passion and persistence.
HT Smartcast.
You are listening to an HT Smartcast original.
Hi, I'm HD Smartcast, and I hope you're safe and well. Your episode is about to begin. But just a small message of solidarity before that. In difficult times like these, living in isolation isn't going to be easy. But what if working from home, our own comfort zones, helps us discover new ways of being? What if this calm, this rest, it helps us listen to ourselves and the people around us more deeply. While that happens, you can find me at htsmartcast.com, connecting you to the world of comedy, culture, motivation, news. You know, just in case you need some smart company. Thanks for listening. Take care.
In the last episode, we were conversing with Anjali Bhimani, the American stage, film, TV, and voice actress. So far, we witnessed how she has been dealing with struggles. Discipline in life and a diverse set of interests has been her secret. How did she step beyond theater?
So it wasn't necessarily a conscious choice so much as those auditions just started becoming available to me. And every single time some new option came to me, I was like, you mean I can do this too? You guys are going to let me do this? Okay, cool. So I think my first TV job was in New York for a show called Law & Order SVU. And it was just an audition that came up and an audition I booked. And I thought, oh, cool. Well, I guess I can do these things now. And so as those auditions came in, I would go out for them. And then the same thing happened with the opera and the same thing happened with voiceover. They just all became different branches of the tree that became available, and I didn't bother even thinking, oh, I can't do this, or I don't know how to do this. I thought, well, if I have the opportunity for the audition, I'm gonna go in and try it out and see what happens and see what I've got. Worst case scenario, I make a fool of myself. It won't be the first time or the last. But the best case scenario, I get to do this amazing new thing. And so yeah, it's been a long series of saying yes to things before I knew I was any good at them.
What are her memories of rejection?
Oh, so many. Oh, I can't even, it's too many to count. I remember auditioning for Archie Panjabi's role in The Good Wife and thinking, oh my God, this role is going to be incredible. And I hope. And then she went on to win the Emmy for it, and as well she should have, because she was great. So many shows like that, and so many new shows that came out along the way that I would see roles in and not book. So yeah, there are way more shows that I have wished I was in and not made it in than shows I've actually done. And I think that is just the case for most actors, is that, you know, for every, you know, they always say this is the 20-year overnight success. Because every time someone says, oh, this person's an overnight success, no, you just found out about them overnight. They've been working on this for 20 years.
As a professional, what is the worst fear of an actor?
The fear, I think many, many actors and actresses go through this, where you have this fear that, oh my God, that was my last chance and I'll never have a chance again. And we all kind of go through these waves of that. There are so many actors and actresses who have like giant 10-year gaps of job to job. And you're like, well, how did you sustain yourself through that time? I guess the thing that has probably like in the last 2 years maybe has been when I've started to realize, okay, it's okay. It's okay that you didn't get this one, another one is coming. And that is mostly because I've been doing this long enough to realize, this might sound morbid what I'm about to say, but I realized last year that the only thing I have to do to be able to be an actor for the rest of my life is not die. Because one way or the other, whether it is for money or in a community theater, whether it is on television as a leading lady or in the tiniest role in a tiny production somewhere, one way or the other, there will always be an acting job for me. It's just a matter of enduring.
While she has come to terms with her worst fears, what is her personal battle now?
If I allow myself to be really honest with it, I think what I'm struggling with is this fear that there's not enough time to do all of the things I want to do, that like every day is a race against the clock because time is passing by and I have so many things I want to be able to do. You know, now that I'm in the voiceover world and doing that, and in the games world, I want to be doing more there. I want to do more. I want to do more movies. I want to sing more. There's so much. I finally feel like, you know, in the last few years of my life, I finally feel like I've figured out, oh, this is how you play the game of life and have fun at it. For so many years, I struggled with self-esteem and depression and all of those things. And now that I'm not struggling with that as much on a daily basis, I'm enjoying this so much. And now I'm like, oh God, I just want to make sure this lasts as long as possible. I need to live to 120.
As a voice actor, she plays Symmetra, the most popular superhero in Overwatch, a game with a community of over 60 million players. Who is Symmetra?
The thing that I find the most admirable about Symmetra is that she hasn't let anything that has happened to her in her life, she hasn't let it stop her from trying to make the world a better place. So whether it's the challenges she faced growing up because she was plucked out of the slums of Hyderabad and taken away from her family, whether it was the fact that she's on the spectrum and people didn't understand her as she was growing up or even well into adulthood, whatever it was, you know, her own challenges that she faced being on the spectrum, she never let it stop her from looking at the world in an aspirational way and wanting to make it better. And that right there is something that I have felt like I need to step into on a regular basis. And you don't have to do that. You know, I know full well it's a role and no one expects that of me, but I expect that of me because there are so many people in the world that are sitting in their living rooms on their computers or on their PlayStations or whatever and allowing me into their house with that character. I feel a responsibility to live up to that.
Would she be the first autistic superhero?
I don't know if that is literally the case, but I do definitely feel like she is one of the most well-known heroes that is officially, overtly out to the world on the spectrum. And I'm so grateful that it's her, because the way that the game developers and the story writer at the time, Michael Chu, who helped create her, the way that they presented her being on the spectrum was so delicate and was so just one part of this incredibly complex and unique person that it put this representation of someone out in the someone on the spectrum out into the world that was unique. Most people, you know, assume that it's either Rain Man or quote unquote normal. And there are so many different ways that people on the spectrum experience their lives. There are so many different levels of ability or challenges that they face. And so for there to be this representation of someone who is able and powerful and intelligent and focused and still struggling with something.
And she has been speaking to families with people on the spectrum and inspiring them across the world. In that, she has found a mission larger than life.
I get to meet families where one member or another is on the spectrum and how it's brought them together. I get to have this one-on-one experience with people that makes it even more worthwhile than it was before.
Symmetra's role represents that voice of the suppressed that wants this world to recognize diversity. Looking back, how does it feel having come so far?
I think it's actually come full circle. Because as a child, I was very free and I enjoyed my own company and I was creative and had a wonderful time creating things. And I think through the years, whether it's through the school system or life or whatever, for a lot of us that gets tamped down and restricted and you start questioning yourself. And then when it becomes about not getting jobs, you start thinking you're not good enough. And I feel like I've come full circle now because I'm starting to rediscover that childish wonder now and that excitement about what we can do with the day and that excitement about what is possible. Because now I've finally realized that all of those voices in my head, which are really just my own voice, but all of those voices in my head saying you're not good enough or you can't do this or you can't do that, those are all just constructs that have nothing to do with reality. The reality is that the world is created by what's in here, by what's inside your brain, by your perception of what's going on. And as a child, I loved it. I just wanted to create. I wanted to create with paper dolls. I wanted to create stories. I wanted to act. I wanted to do all of these things. And now I'm back in that place. And it means I'm finally enjoying my own company again. So that you're never really alone when you're enjoying your own company. You know, you actually enjoy yourself and feel proud of sharing that person with the rest of the world. So it's been a long journey through, as I said, a variety of self-esteem problems or depression or ups and downs or whatever, but it's just been a full circle journey back to that little girl who wrote stories in her bedroom and sang songs and made construction paper houses and all of those things that we do as children. Being an actor really is like playing pretend for a living. So having that childish wonder, I feel like has been the great journey that I've been through, getting back to that.
Could there be another profession that forces self-discovery to such an extent? I will leave you with that thought. That's it from me. If you know of more such people who have inspired you and wish that I talk about them, do reach out to me at Bose for Leadership, that is Bose numeric for Leadership, at Twitter and Instagram, and Shubham Basu on LinkedIn. Alternatively, you can look for the handle at HTSmartcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Spotify, JioSaavn, Google, and all your favorite podcasting apps. I will be back next week with a brand new story.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.